Hey, welcome back to my podcast, What Am I Watching Right Now? And you're listening to your host, Anjali Sinha. And in this podcast episode, I'm going to talk about another cool historical period drama that I watched. And it's called Ammonite. So without further ado, let's get into the podcast episode. So Ammonite starts with a paleontologist named Anning, Miss Anning. I don't remember the first name of hers, and it's played by Kate Winslet. And Saoirse Ronan plays Mrs. Murchison. So she plays the wife of a a rich man who's interested in geology, and Miss Anning is already like a prodigy in her field since she excavated an Isithoris carcass when she was like 13 or 16. So she's done that when she was literally a child, and she's raved about in the scientific community for her works of excavation since she's a beachcomber who goes through the beach and collects or finds out interesting things, and then she uncovers them with her knowledge of geology and rocks and paleontology. So the movie is based on this secret romance, or should I say like seaside romance, between the two characters. And I read another article on the internet saying that the character of Anning and Mary Anning and Mrs. Murchison could be false too, since it's like an imagined scenario where these two scientists got together and spent some time in the town of Lyme. So it makes like it's a paradoxical situation where it could have happened or it couldn't have happened, since these two people did know each other, since Mary Anning was a pioneering 19th century paleontologist who was friends with Mrs. Murchison, and Mrs. Murchison was an equally rivaled lauded for her work in paleontology too, along with her husband. And sometimes her work has bypassed her husband's work, so her work rivals her husband's. So with that being said, this is like a imagined scenario with like secret seaside romance thingy. So not sure if it happened or it didn't, but did read an article where the director of this film, named Francis Lee, was kind of pointing it out on Twitter that it could have happened, or since it's art, we should look at it at a lens of subjective freedom and other things. So yeah, with that being said, let's get into the movie. I think everybody knows that Kate Winslet is a legendary actor, and so is like Saoirse Ronan. So most of the movie that they played in, they were just acting so well, like they were implying so many things in the scenes, and there was like barely enough dialogue. So that's the first thing I noticed, along with the drab English countryside. The palette was muted, there was a lot of gray. I actually like those muted tones of grayish bluishness, and it was present in most of the shots whenever they were outside. And yeah, mostly. And I think it was on the inside too. And I felt like the whole movie was muted in a sense that it pulls you in. So I'll explain it like this. So when you are going somewhere and it might be on a subway, or whenever you watch someone driving away, or whenever you're traveling on a train and you're looking outside and you somehow peek into someone's house just far away from you, but still in your eyesight, in your field of vision, and you just imagine them living their life. So, and you imagine people driving away and you wonder like what kind of life they live, and there's some sort of energy that's like radiating out of that person that gives you a sense of what kind of a life they live, or like what's their domestic life could be, at what times they eat supper, when they laugh, etc, etc. It's the same kind of energy in this movie. It's like there's a lot of acting, there's lots of nuances, there's lots of communication through eyes, gestures. There's a lot of quiet in this movie, so it kind of builds very slowly. It's very slow in tension. The tension mounts to the point where Kate Winslet and Saoirse Ronan get together. But before that, it's like really subtle. It just flows. So yeah, if you do not like watching something as muted as this, you would probably not like it. But if you're into watching drama, like period drama, period movie, like the one that I'm describing, this would be a great fit for you. You would really like this because it's like beautifully shot. I think the biggest two actors who are very good at what they do are in this, and they act really well. It's like beautifully shown. The one thing that this movie does miss is the script. There are some questions, but again, based on what they were going for, the movie does its job well, but it kind of leaves you with an open ending, and I'm not a fan of open endings. So I didn't quite like it, but it was like very easy, very smooth. The characters drew me in and I was pulled in. That was the sort of behavior, or I should say the energy that I got from the cast. So I was watching and it was just easy, form flowing, and also it kind of fulfills all the tropes or the things that you would expect from a 1900s English movie. Literally, there's that drab countryside, there's a placid mother, Mary's mother. That I'm talking about. Mary has a mother who's like very subdued. She isn't excited easily. She doesn't say anything. Even when like I thought that maybe she would catch up on Mrs. Murchison, or should I just say Charlotte and Mary, when they are having an affair. I thought that she would catch up on it, but she didn't. Like even when they're like hooking up, I should say, since that those moments are passion weren't quiet, and in the house they were the only three women living in or sharing the space, her mom didn't really catch up on it, or maybe she did and she didn't think butting in would be okay. I'm not sure what was going on, but at times her mom does act like an overwhelming mother. She's like telling, I won't say overwhelming, just like a mother, you know how a mother is. I won't really know, I don't have one, but from what I've seen, like her mom reminds her to ask for more pay when she's caring for Mrs. Murchison like a child. also, she reminds her that she can't keep caring for Mrs. Murchison because, you know, they have to get by, and she and Mary can't do that when she's taking care of a rich man's wife, since Mary has to work really hard to just get by. So there are instances where she is loud and she kind of talks about her opinions and whatever, but most of the time she's placid, and it's like she's not there kind of. The mother's character is also very well acted somehow. So the movie is really starts with a dull storyline. So it's I think the best way to explain this trope is to say it's like a caregiver romance. Yeah, that's how it starts. So Mrs. Murchison is experiencing melancholia, whatever. So her husband is a rich man who's interested in geology, and he kind of shows up at Mary's store. So Mary is a scientist, but again, women are not taken seriously in her field of work. So she has to run like a tourist trap where she's selling like mirrors encrusted with seashells. She picks up like seashells or colorful stones that can pass off as gems, and makes knickknacks out of them, and then she sells that out of her store, and those things help her get by and let her indulge in scientific work. So when this man shows up, Mary is like, I don't have the time or the energy to put up with your wife, but he says that he will pay her handsomely for it. He only asks her to take her wife to the shore when she goes early in the mornings to find anything relevant. So the first day, her husband shows up, Mrs. Murchison's husband shows up, and they go together, and then he realizes that maybe the sea air would do his wife good. So he goes and recommends this, and then he leaves her. Mrs. Murchison's husband just leaves her there, and he says that please take care of her, my wife is suffering from melancholia. And Mary Anning is like very honest. She's like, I'm not looking for an apprentice, so I'm not sure how your wife is going to be of any use to me, and I don't have time to, you know, like be a caregiver or something, to follow her around or whatever, like nanny her. Yeah, so the husband is like, I'll pay you for it, and then they get to an agreement, because Mary's mother looks at her like, yeah, you need the money. So that happens, and on the first day, it feels like Mrs. Murchison's character is a huge brat, because class difference is shown really vividly in the film. She when the helper shows up to help get Mrs. Murchison ready, she kind of throws things at her, and the woman steps out of the room, and she's like, please don't throw things at me, Mrs. Murchison. And then she agrees. In the next shot, we see her showing up at Mary's store, and then they go together. At first, she seems like a stubborn person, very set in her ways. Mary tells something that sets her off, and it makes her take like a bath in the ocean or something. So doing that gets her sick, like Charlotte getting that bath gets her sick, and then Mary has to care for her. through caring for her, she realizes that she has some sort of feelings for her. I don't know. It's like kind of implied by the way they were acting, or the way Mary was acting. And it was also implied that the person that she visits, Mary visits to get some salve or whatever it is, whoever that person was, has some sort of a romantic relationship history with Mary. But Mary was also very hurt by this person. It's all implied by the way they were talking, and Mary was reluctant to come inside, and Mary was also very reluctant to pay her for herself. Anyway, the next, I think almost the next day, Charlotte wakes up and Mary is still looking after her. So Charlotte tells her that you take care of me like your child or something like that. And Mary seems moved or something, or she feels something. I'm not sure what that feeling was, but I felt like she felt moved. Charlotte definitely feels moved by Mary taking care of her and then reviving her, because there was a good chance that Charlotte might have passed away. Mary mentions that to her mom when her mom was like, you don't have time to do this. Anyways, moving on. With all that things that have happened, Charlotte realizes that Mary really looks out for her and is a genuine person. So she's that was the point before Charlotte getting sick. There was a point when both of them were on guard, but slowly they start to get rid of it, and Charlotte starts to open up more to Mary, and she follows her to the sea, to the beach, and then they find things together. They bring back a rock together, which happens to have like another one of those fossils. So they spend a lot of time uncovering that. Then Mary gets invited to a party, and Mary sees Charlotte having a good time with that old lady friend of hers, and she realizes that they gel well together. And I feel like Kate Winslet really shows you that moment in time where she really depicts jealousy really well. Like, her expressions are on point. She feels jealous, depressed, lonely, so she leaves the party thingy and comes back home. Charlotte realizes that maybe Mary has some sort of feelings for her, Charlotte thinks that Mary has some sort of feelings for her, and Charlotte acts on it, and that's how they become like a couple. Later on, they realize that, when her husband, like Charlotte's husband, when he had commented that he doesn't know where his clever wife has gone, clever, happy, jolly wife has gone, she hadn't gone anywhere. It was just that her husband was kind of a passionless prick, and he like stopped her from doing really anything or indulging in literally anything. So there's that. And it's also implied that maybe Cersei has lost a child, because there's a moment in the movie where she's playing with someone else's child, and then she gets really unhappy and she comes back home, and then she starts sobbing on Mary's shoulder. So it is implied that she might have lost a child, and that trauma had really inflicted her and made her into this catatonic, melancholic person, or I'd say a depressed person. Anyhow, being around Mary cheers her up, and they start to enjoy their time together. There are a few explicit scenes in the movie too, which really shows their passion, but it's very much in contrast with the subdued tone and the muted tones and the imagery of the film. So you see that they're in love, and that's when Charlotte gets like a letter from her husband back, and she has to go join him. They say their goodbyes with like teary-eyed, and again Mary holds herself back. She doesn't reach out for Charlotte in the way that she should have done, since she's in now love with her. And then when Charlotte leaves, on I think on the same day, her mother also passes away. So Mary feels like shocked to realize her mom has passed away, and she feels like really lonely. It's a very sad and a very low point for her in the movie. Then that romantic ex-friend shows up, and she gives her like a bit of advice that she shouldn't have let Mrs. Murchison go. And sooner than later, Mary receives a correspondence from Mrs. Murchison, and the movie literally takes us to Mrs. Murchison's house. Then we see another example of class difference, because as soon as Mary steps into that living room, like guest living room or whatever, and Charlotte comes in and she starts to kiss Mary, but the helper is there, the maid is there, and Charlotte says something like, "It's just a servant," which is how do you see the class difference in English movies and literature of that time. And it's like sexuality is recognized depending on who you were with or whatever your surroundings were. Another example of that is shown when they are at the beach and they kind of hook up in the sea. So it really the movie is trying to comment like it really depends on your surroundings, on who you're with, and that's where sexuality will be recognized. So Charlotte kind of builds this like elaborate dream of living with Mary in the false pretense of doing some project together or something like that. She arranges in her own house for Mary to have a room, a study, a place to do all her scientific work, as she says. But Mary feels like, you know, I'm better than this, or maybe it's more like this is not my life. Charlotte's trying to build a life for me that doesn't really suit me or my personality or my preferences or whatever, and they have like a slight of a misunderstanding. It's barely a fight. Kate Winslet portrays conflicts really well. So she's like, this is not me, this is not my life, and then she's like, I'll have to look for lodgings somewhere else for the night. Earlier, while she met Charlotte, she mentions that she's going to look at the fossil that she had recovered when she was a teenager or a young child. So the next part of the movie is literally that Mary is in the museum trying to find the fossil that she had recovered, and she's looking at it, and there's another shot in where Charlotte enters and she's staring at her, and that's exactly where the movie ends. So I wanted to see more than that, but we didn't get anything. Still, the movie was, I don't know, it's everything that you would wonder English countryside 19 or I'll say 1800s seaside romance to be. I'll also say that it's somewhat a tropey romance, but I think it's okay given that time. I'm not really sure how accurate or historically accurate the movie is, but it kind of seems like it matches up with the timeline. The clothes are really nice. The movie is muted and it builds slowly, but I still managed to enjoy it. There's also like little character development for Charlotte Munchinson in the movie, so I won't really comment on that because literally nothing changes except that there was really nothing wrong with her. It was her husband that was bringing her depressive side out, and it also felt like for Charlotte Munchison that even if, I'm not sure whether she has lost a child or not, and if even if something like that happened to her, she couldn't talk to her husband, to her dull husband about it. So she was literally looking for an emotional outlet that she found in Mary. And yeah, that's it. Also, I'll say that there was little character development for Mary too, even though after on the advice of her friend, she shows up to meet Charlotte in perhaps what I assume is London, but she kind of lets her fears of building a relationship with Charlotte win, because she just leaves abruptly. She doesn't really communicate well with Charlotte in that moment. She just says that this is not my life, this is something that you've dreamed of and you're trying to force that on me. That's okay, but you also, when you are saying something like that to someone you love, you'll also have to explain your position a bit. Felt like she should have done a bit more explaining before storming off, but she doesn't. So it's like nothing really has changed, because in the first half of the movie, we get her ex romantic lover friend say the exact things, touch on the exact same things, and even after the death of Mary's mother, the lover friend came to see her, and she said that Mary always held back, like she wasn't showing her as much affection or as if like she cared about her much, so like she wasn't as enthusiastic to show if she cared or not. And you know, when you're in love, you, the other person wants to see that whether you want to show it or not. So yeah, I felt like there was also little character development for Mary too, because she's still reacting and acting in the same way that she has done in the past, and we don't know if that changes in the future because we don't really get anything. The movie just ends randomly with portrays what they call as an open ending, which is basically just it just ends randomly. It wasn't even an open ending at this point, but who am I to complain? It's just that I'm not sure what was going on. I just hoped there was more of something to hang on. Maybe they could have ended the movie after they had like a talk, they discussed their things, so we could see that Charlotte has also improved and become empathetic as a person, because she seems like very snobby and snooty and also like selfish in a way, because she is admittedly cheating on her husband behind her back. And she also mentions this to Mary, that thanks to Mary, her husband has found I'll say a hobby to that helps him be preoccupied with, and the hobby takes up a lot of his time. So yeah, I wanted to see like more changes in Charlotte as a person, but again there was like little character development, but the plot does move along nicely. It's not hard to watch, it's not a hard to watch film, it's okay, but again, it's not something super special, and it wasn't everything I was expecting it to be too. So I'm a little disappointed, slightly, but I also came into it with like lower expectations, but I still hoped it would be like better since it had like two legendary actors in it. I expected more, but got not much from it. That's all. Thanks for coming in and listening to me. It was lovely talking to you. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye!